Good morning
and welcome.
Welcome to our worship service this morning, especially those of you who are visiting us. We're so thankful that you are here this morning. We are here to worship God. There's no other reason why we're here but to worship Almighty God, to learn more about His will, and to know for a fact that we are fulfilling a few of His commandments by doing this. And that is to memorialize the Lord Jesus the way we just did in prayer. We sang to the Lord. All these things that the Christians used to do back in those days, we are still keeping on that wonderful tradition. And I thank you for being here this morning. I just finished mentioning the word learn. We never stop learning from the Lord's word. I don't care how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. We never, ever stop learning from the Lord's word. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. We're going to learn some lessons from the children of Israel. First of all, we need to remember that it was by the providence of God, through the life of Joseph, that the children of Israel were saved from the great famine and made their home in Egypt. And unfortunately, the children of Israel ended up becoming slaves to the Egyptians. And now as time went on, the children of Israel, they kept multiplying rapidly, which really, really concerned the Pharaoh. And so that's when he went and he started killing all firstborn children. And this is where Moses was saved from this killing, and he was raised by the Pharaoh's daughter. So I want us to keep that in mind. This is, we're talking about the children of Israel. And if you notice in Exodus chapter 2 and 23, it says, "Now it happened in the process of that time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out," and they cried, the cry came to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Now, the first lesson that we learn from here is that God is listening, and He will acknowledge His people when they call out or when we pray to Him. Now, we need to realize that when we pray, we might not get an immediate result, which does not mean that the answer is no. It just simply means not yet. So we need to be careful with what we ask for, because we might just get it. You ever heard that phrase? Be careful what you ask for. You might just get it. Keep that in mind as we go through this lesson this morning. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, "Be sober," said Peter. "Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Now, just as the evil Pharaoh was continually after God's people in those days, in a similar way, the devil is always after the Christian today. And that's why Peter says, be sober. What happens when you're not sober? When you maybe, when people are inebriated? They're not thinking. They're not sharp. They're not vigilant. And he says, be sober. Be vigilant. Because our adversary, the devil, he walks about. And so, yeah, a lot of us know this verse, and we must understand. We're learning from the children of Israel. We're learning about their mistakes and what they did wrong. "No temptation has overtaken you," says 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, "except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able." You notice that? "But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." So there really is no excuse when we're tempted. God gives us the way out. But just like the children of Israel, God always, always makes a way of escape for His people from the evil that pursues us daily. That's what was happening to the children of Israel, and they weren't realizing it. We're going to see in just a little bit. Exodus 15 and 22, it says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea." I want to stop right there. We know what happened. Before then, we know what happened at the Red Sea. We know all that. Now notice, then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Now, you remember how I said that when you pray for something, you better be sure that that's what you really want, because you might just get it? Well, it doesn't take long after the children of Israel see everything that God did with their own eyes, all the many miracles that God worked through Moses, which led them to their freedom, by the way, and then they started complaining. You see that? We need to learn from this. We need to learn. These people had just come from the Red Sea, it says in Exodus 15 and 22. Everything that they saw, and the first thing that happens, one of the first things that happens is this, and they start complaining. Now, look at what happened. So he cried out to the Lord, Moses, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. So even though they had seen the great miracles of God, they had very little faith or trust in God, and that God would provide for their needs. So again, God provides, and the children of Israel are happy. You see that? Because they could drink water now. So they're happy again. Well, at least until the next chapter. And let's look at this next chapter. Exodus 16 and verse 1. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Verse 2. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. I want to stop right there. I want you to notice, it doesn't say some of them complained. It says, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord God said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." If there's one thing that we learn about the children of Israel, my friends, is that they were really good at complaining and not being satisfied with what they had. And this did not please God one bit at all. In fact, at one point, the children of Israel were complaining about not having meat because they were tired of having the manna. So notice what God does. Yeah, it just makes you shake your head, doesn't it? It was raining manna from heaven for them. And they were complaining, "Oh, I just missed that meat that we had in Egypt. I missed so much of what we had." They forgot that they were slaves and that they wanted to be free. They were praying to God to free them, and then he frees them. Remember, be careful what you ask for, because you might just get it. Numbers 11 and 19. "You shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days. Look at verse 20. "But for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you and have wept before him, saying, 'Why did you ever come up? Why did we ever come up out of Egypt?'" I want you to notice something in these verses. It says, you have despised the Lord who is among you. The Lord was among them. He was with them. He was traveling with them. And all they could do was just get better and better and better at complaining. That's all they did. They got better at complaining. Again, this shows you that we need to be careful what we ask for, because God didn't stop here. Because later on in that chapter, we learn that he caused a plague to come upon them because of the continual complaining. And even Moses was fed up with all of their complaining. And so, us, as children of God, we must learn to be content with what we have and rejoice in the blessing that we have received from the Lord. We just finished praying to the Lord. As a matter of fact, Josue, in his prayer and our offering to the Lord. And he said, we're going to offer back, we're going to give back a portion to you, O God. A portion of all the rich blessings that you've given us. And that's true. That's true. And so it wouldn't be right for me or any one of us to complain, I really can't afford this because I got a lot of stuff going on, but I need to give back to the Lord because that's what I'm... So you're not going to know about it, but I'm complaining within myself. God knows. And it's meaningless. My offering is meaningless if I'm going to complain about it. And that's what the children of Israel didn't understand. Who were the children of Israel? People ask. Why do you keep saying the children of Israel? Who were those people? Well, those were the people that God made a promise to Abraham to. That promise of land, prosperity, all these things that he promised them, it went through Jacob. But Jacob, God changed his name to Israel. And these are the 12 children of Jacob. And we call them, the Bible calls them, the children of Israel. But this is the remnant that was left over from this. These are the people that came out of Egypt. I don't know the number, but there was a lot of them. And all they were doing was complaining over and over and over. Hebrews 13 and 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? First of all, the Hebrew writer here reminds us that he himself, Jesus, himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's a reminder that the Lord God will never leave us. He will never leave us. And this is the message that we need to give people all the time. People that are maybe struggling, our friends out there. They say, I don't understand why things are going so bad for me. Well, you're not worshiping God. You're not putting God and his kingdom first. Before we worry about what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, where we're going to live, all these things, Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness first. And all these things that we worry about as human beings, as in the flesh, will be added on to us. We put God first. People just don't do that. They scratch their head. I don't understand why this is happening to me. There's a lot of things that human beings will not understand without the Word of God. Concerning godliness, concerning everything in life. They think, well, you know, I try to be religious sometimes. They're putting it to a side, and God isn't having that. That doesn't please God. God wants to be what? Number one. He wants to be first in our lives. So we got to remember, though, we live in a society where we got to have the best houses. And I'm just talking society in general. We need to have the best cars, the best boat, and many Christians, here's the fault of many of us, many Christians will do whatever it takes to obtain material possessions, even if it means being buried in debt. But this should not be the case for us Christians. We understand the world might do that, but not Christians. And we need to learn that we need to be content and stop desiring the things that we don't even need. And we've all done that. I want that. I want that guitar. I really do want it. I don't need it. I don't. But I want it. You know what the attitude is now? And I'm so glad. I really am, because these things can get out of control for us. And we can be sinning without even knowing it. And so, yes, there was a time when there was a need in Guatemala. So I sold one of my guitars and I sent the money to Elder Mendez. You know how good that felt? That felt so good. Why? Because my dad, like my dad always said, these material things mean nothing. Nothing at all. I don't want you to fight over, I don't want you brothers to fight over the things that I have or the things that I'm going to leave you, which wasn't much, but they were, right? They were dads. So I want this and I want that. No. And you know what? We listened to him. There was no fighting. You want that? Go ahead and keep it. I don't need any of that. Why? Because they're material things. Then we start thinking like the world. Society does that. You think I'm going to worry about, oh man, my neighbor just got a BMW. Man, I can't afford the BMW, but I'm going to try to get a Mercedes. Why? Then that means I'm going to offer less to the Lord because I got all these payments of things that I don't need. I just wanted them. Doesn't make any sense. Let your conduct be without covetousness. See that? Be content. For he himself has said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. But guess what? As we've read in the old law, and God still casts the same shadow, he says, if you forsake me, I will forsake you. If you return to me, I will return to you. The Lord is with you, the prophet said, while you are with him. If you forsake the Lord, he will forsake you. That's exactly what Jesus said right here. I will never leave you nor forsake you if, he said, if you keep my commandments. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, yes, for us, he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. We need to realize as Christians that we are richer than anyone on the face of this planet because of the treasures that we have in heaven. And that's where Jesus said, don't make your treasures here on earth where thieves can come in and steal and moth and rust. And no, he says, make your treasures in heaven where nobody can touch that stuff. Philippians 2 and 14, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless. My friends, you want to become blameless and harmless? He gives us the answer right here. Do all things without complaining and disputing. For what? That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of God, the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may have not run in vain or labored in vain. You see how these wonderful commandments that we have, you know, some people say, well, I don't really have to listen to that. That was the Apostle Paul. That wasn't Jesus. That wasn't the Apostle Paul. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God through the apostle. And so that's some of the arguments that we receive from people. Well, that was an apostle. It wasn't the Lord. Yes, it was. Yes, it is the Lord speaking to us. So another thing that we learned from the children of Israel is that they kept having a desire to go back to their old lifestyle of bondage. They wanted to go back to Egypt because they missed all the meat and all the... We're going to read that again. In fact, they even fantasized about it. Numbers 11 and 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? Oh, we remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." Notice that, the way they're complaining. The manna that came from God, this food, they were in the middle of nowhere. Yet this food comes from God and they're complaining about it. I can just imagine how their mouths were just watering as they thought about the meat and the fruit that they had as slaves. Even though they had originally wanted to be free from their bondage, they now wanted to go back to that bondage. And of course, this kind of thinking upset Moses greatly, and it was not pleasing to God. And I want to remind you, the Christians in Galatia, they were doing the same thing. They were trying to go back to the law of Moses. And what about Simon the sorcerer? He had the same problem too. He had just gotten baptized. And then he saw the apostles putting their hands on people. "Hey, I want to do that too. I'll pay you." You see that? These are the kinds of things that we need to learn from and say, okay, this is why we have the old law with us in this same book. The old law and the new law. So we can learn from their mistakes, said Paul in 1 Corinthians 10. So we can learn from all their mistakes, everything that they did. So we won't repeat that because we today are the spiritual Israel. We're the children of God. 2 Peter 2 and 20. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than have known it to return from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, 'A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire.'" You see that? I don't know how many times we've seen that ourselves where Christians leave the faith. They go back into the world and they start doing the same thing. They go back to their old lifestyle, just like Israel wanted to go back to Egypt. And so no matter how much you think your old lifestyle was so wonderful as you lived in sin, we must keep ourselves from returning to it, or we will be worse off than when we began. And another lesson that we learn from the children of Israel is found in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not.'" Here we learn that God is testing them to see if they will obey his commands. Well, guess what? Some of them failed. Some of them failed. And some didn't have enough trust in God that he would provide for them every day. So they tried to gather more manna. See, if he says, it says here that they were supposed to get a certain quota only. Well, they were gathering more for the next day. And that more that they gathered, when they went to go, yeah, it was full of worms and it was ugly. It was ugly. But he did tell them, he instructed them to gather twice as much on Friday because he would not furnish manna on the Sabbath because he rested on the Sabbath. So only on Fridays could they get double the amount. It was a test for them. It was a test. And some of them failed, it says. So, we're learning from the children of Israel and all that they did. 2 Timothy 1 and 7, Paul says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." See, this verse teaches us that we need to learn to have a great respect for God's word. We need to learn to trust in God and that we will that he will take care of us. We can get ourselves into a heap of trouble when we stop trusting in God, or when we stop respecting his authority. You see, the word of God is all authority for us. If we veer away from the word of God, then we've veered away from God himself. And so I just wonder how many times we have failed to do the things for God because we had a lack of faith. You ever thought about that? How many times I have failed God just because of my lack of faith? My friends, we need to understand that we have access to a power that's far beyond our own abilities. And I think sometimes we let that escape from us. How powerful the Word of God really is, and that we don't utilize it in that way. But we can only use that power if we have faith and trust in the Lord God. 1 John 5 and 2. By this, we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Let me ask you something, my friends. Am I going to keep God's commandments if I don't know the Bible? Am I going to know automatically, miraculously, the commandments of God without the Bible, without meditating in the Word of God? Is there any excuse for us to not know the commandments of God? You see, some people say, well, I can't even afford a Bible. Bibles are being given away. We give Bibles away. There's other organizations that give Bibles away. There is no excuse. We have the Word of God. We know that this is the love of God. How? That we keep his commandments. So this is the way that we make sure that we have faith and trust in God, by making God's word a part of our everyday life and making sure that we respect what it says and do our best to live our lives accordingly. If we truly love God, we will keep his commandments, bottom line. That's it. So what did we learn today? Well, we learned that God answers prayer in his own time. In his own time. We need to be careful what we pray for. Just like Israel, they prayed to be released, to be freed, and they were. Then they were complaining about it. That's like me becoming a Christian and having all these benefits in Christ. I have contact with his blood, but yet I'm complaining. Oh, I can't do the things I used to do, man. I can't live that lifestyle that I used to live because I'm a Christian now. That makes no sense, does it? We want to better ourselves. And I tell everybody, you know, there are people that aren't even religious that know the Bible and they follow the Bible. In other words, the Bible teaches us how to live, right? And it gives us good advice on how to live, how to raise our children. Yeah, even for people who are not religious. So, we learn that we don't make excuses for serving God or for not serving God, for that fact. Evil is always out to get us, but God always provides an escape route. Always let us never, ever forsake that or forget that. God does not like moaners and groaners. He doesn't like for us to complain. He doesn't like that because we need to be content with what the Lord God gives us. And we're, like I said, we're the richest people on the planet because we have all these benefits. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking spiritually. That's what matters. That's what matters. But yet, when we put God first, spiritually speaking, he makes sure that we have what we need to live our lives. But yet, we're not content. We're not content. This is a lesson for all of us, to be content with what the Lord God has given us. We need to be on guard so that we do not turn back to our old lifestyle. That's what they were complaining about. All the food, everything that they had, they got used to that. How many years were they there? 400, that's a long time. So you get used to that. Generation after generation gets used to that. They probably didn't even feel like slaves anymore. Yet they prayed to God. They asked God, free us, please. We don't want to do this anymore. And he did. So it's important to have faith and trust in God and to respect his authority. Everything that we do here, my friends, is through the authority that God has given us. We don't add and we don't take away from that authority. So we invite you to come back this evening. We're going to talk about the Christian and faith. The Christian and doubting. And this is kind of like part two from this lesson. The Christian and doubting. So I have a question for the visitors. Have you come to Christ? Have you come and given that good baptism, that good confession? Have you let Jesus and his words penetrate your heart to make you come and repent from your former life and come and be baptized and put on Christ through baptism? You see, this is what the Bible tells us from baptism. Jesus himself said in Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Why would we not obey the commandments of Jesus? The Lord God told us right there and then, we just read the verses in 1 John, that the commandments of God are not burdensome. They're not hard. They're not. We're the ones who harden our hearts. We harden ourselves. You see, we can learn a lot from the children of Israel. But if you want to be in contact with the blood of the Lord, you must come to him in repentance, in baptism, so that you can leave the old person in the watery grave and raise up into newness of life and live for the Lord for the rest of your life and be faithful for the rest of your life. You become a citizen of the kingdom of God. If we can help you in any way, or maybe you've already done that. Maybe you've been making the same mistakes that Israel made as Christians. If you need to repent from something, let it be known as we stand and sing number 340.